Views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We'll talk about prayer for Rudolph. That'll make sense later. By the way, we're also going to discuss the Masters of Mowers. We'll get to that one. Someone I think was praying for me today. I kind of want to dig into that. Spencer Brown, Young American Foundation, is going to be joining us. And then we're going to close the show out today with Don't Choke.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelation, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic is, of course, open for conversation. Unless you want to talk about something that we can't put on the air, then it's not open for conversation. I'm just telling you right now. And why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, before we do anything, I want to answer the question that was asked just before our show start. Just before the show started, the gentleman asked questions about the nuns. And I just have to comment because I don't know where else they're going to play this in there. But he said, do you have any thoughts about the nuns and their position on the land and on oil and stuff? And I just want to say right now, I have none. Get it? I have none. I'm open 5 days a week. I'm just telling you how to see. I have none. Get it? I have. Okay. All right. I'm going to pay for that one. I know. Let's get into our sponsorship. A shout out to Wade, just because we want to make sure that our good friend Wade Chessman knows I'm calling him tomorrow. That's the way you do it. I'm calling you tomorrow, Wade, to have you join us because we want you to be a part of our team. That's what's going to happen. All right. First shout out to our main man. Our main legend, our guy that started it all, the man who expressed the faith, the guy who's got commercials running, our very own John.
Big John. Big John.
Let's make sure you understand what's going on. Wednesday and Thursday, I believe it's supposed to rain again. Again, rain again. Wow, some of us are going to be leaving for out of town. Some of us aren't. But those of us that are going to be here might be experiencing rain. And if you're in a house that has a roof, it could suffer damage. You want somebody to be able to inspect that, but you don't want it to cost any money. You want somebody to be able to go up on the roof for free, look at it, see if there's any damage. And if there is, let you know that it either can be replaced or repaired with no money out of your pocket. That's where John comes into play. First, you can reach them by calling 469-BLESSED. I'll get this right eventually. 469-BLESSED. 469-BLESSED. You can also go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. Check out his website there. We're going to be getting John on the show. I know he's not nervous. Pamela will be nervous, but John's not going to be nervous. So anyway, I just want to let you know, whether it's commercial or residential, there's going to be some damage most likely to the roof. And the way to find out whether you have damage is to have somebody inspect it. The way to do that is not to pay for it. Just have somebody inspect it. And in the inspection, you might find out that the replacement or repair also does not cost you any money. That's how it works. 469-BLESSED. Make sure to ask for John. Let him know you heard it on the David Spoon Experience. Next up, is our very Italian friend.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
You know, now I want pizza. I mean, how does that work? Pamela Melchione, who is the realtor extraordinaire. Now, I do have a relative who is in real estate who brought us, helped us get into state, and she is super duper fantastic, but she's so busy, she can't do anything either. She doesn't even want her name out there, but that's what Pamela's doing, but Pamela wants to support the ministry. So Pamela's stepping up and saying, hey, here's us being a sponsor. I just want people who really understand that this is my passion and this is what I do, and I help people get through the process, whether they're selling or whether they're buying. She meets with you. It doesn't cost any money. Goes over either what your house is worth or what it is you have to what you have to work with to purchase. And also, if you have a house that you're selling and you're looking for a house to buy, she does both elements of that, and you just want to be able to talk to somebody who you don't think is thinking,
when I get my commission check, I'm going to Cedar Point, and then I'm going to have some fun.
You don't really want that. You want somebody who is in the business, understands the industry, and is willing to work with you all the way through. Her number, 817-505-5541. See, now there's a lot of fives there. 817-505-5541. So she has blessed-realty.com right now, but they are moving it all to theblessedrealtycompany.com. Yes, that's very close to John. Yes, they are very close together. And yes, I will give you the wedding date as soon as they tell me. I assume I'm going to be invited. I don't know. Maybe not. You know, sometimes they like private weddings and that kind of thing. We'll have to find out. Got a lot of stuff going on today, and I want to make sure we get to all of it. We have, if all goes well, Spencer Brown going to be joining us at 2:30. He is representing the Young American Foundation, talking about the college campuses losing their minds. Doesn't seem all that difficult to understand that they're losing their minds, and towards the end of this segment, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you right now. This is just came out the other day. This is what's going on with the social justice warriors, the people that are losing their minds on college campuses. Get ready. I don't want you to get mad at me. I didn't write this story. I'm just telling you what it says. And yes, I go through the news and regurgitate it. Oh, I'm sorry. I repeat it so that you don't have to go through the news and regurgitate. Either way, it's regurgitation. Here's the bottom line. They are now branding dogs as supremacists, white supremacists.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I don't know, but I remember that scene from Blazing Saddles. this is kind of like, remember Mongo in Blazing Saddles? Candygram for Mongo. Remember that? I got you on that one. Here's the bottom line. This is kind of about the Alex Karras character. The guy like no brains is really strong. These are people that are like
dogs or white supremacists.
Like, first of all, the meds that you are taking are not working. So up them, okay? Or the stuff that you are drinking is not working. Or the pot you are smoking is something is not working for you to think a dog is a white supremacist. Well, that's based on their owner. You know what? That's true. The dog was a puppy. And then it woke up, and then it went, look, there's the Southern flag. Look, there's people, and they're white, and they're black, and they're yellow. Oh, wait. Dogs are colorblind. Ah!
Sufferers, fuck a hash.
That just ruined that theory. That's right. But whoever put that out, this person who put this tweet out, there's a stock company called Motley Fool. They should work for Motley Fool, but not for the stock part of it. It's like, what are you talking about? But that's okay. This is how far insane things will go when man tries to establish his own righteousness apart from God and tries to establish a self-righteousness, which is apart from Jesus Christ. This is how nutty it will get. Don't kid yourself. All political correctness is an attempt on mankind's side to establish his own righteousness, which he thinks will make sense, which is why when you hear all about it, it's so confusing, because at the core, it's really just Satan going, you can be righteous all by yourself. You can be righteous without Jesus Christ. Just try. And then you get this. Dogs are white supremacists. I think what happened that is there was a puppy rally. And then all the puppies got together and they started lighting matches or something. I don't know. It's so dumb. It's not, you can't, it, your brain just sits there. You know what's going to happen after dogs? You know, it's going to be cats, and then it's going to be horses, and then it's going to be rabbits. I draw the line, it's stuffed animals.
That's where I'm drawing the line.
Stuffed animals are racist. I mean, that's the next thing that's coming. All right, let's talk about a little bit about me. Well, it's got my name in the show. What do you want? We are going to do a pretty interesting teaching on prayer in the next segment. Really fascinating, because somebody was praying for me, and it was really cool. But let me tell you this real quickly. My wife and I were praying the other night, and she was praying. I'm not trying to make fun of my wife. Okay, she's the best there is, except I'm trying to make fun of my wife because how funny this was. So she's praying for me, and, you know, I go through spiritual warfare. I don't know if you've ever gone through spiritual warfare or not, but I go through it. And she's praying, Lord, and as she's talking, you can tell she's getting tired when she's praying. And she starts to say, you know, Lord, protect him, you know, whatever the storms that he's going through. And then she goes on for about 20 seconds. You know, whether it's really stormy and gloomy and you can't see and it's hard to see and the winds are high and so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, I started to feel like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, thinking, I'm getting prayer so that my nose can shine through this process. I don't know why that popped in my mind. It probably wasn't the right thing. But by the time she was done, I would say that her prayer fit Rudolph perfectly. No matter what kind of storm, whether it's snowing, whether it's raining, whether it's this, or whether it's this, as long as I have a light to guide me right in front of me, like a nose that shines. You know, sometimes we do get distracted in prayer. Mine happened to be with Rudolph. I will close with this. I do want to thank all the masters of mowers out there who have been supporting me in my mowing life. I really would appreciate, you know, I have a master's in theological study, 3.97. Yeah, I got one A minus in 6 years, I'm sorry. But I really would have appreciated somebody calling me and saying, don't mow in the heat of the day. That'd have been good to know. That'd have been good to know. If you touch my forehead, there's this white stuff that comes all over and red stuff. I got a nice sunburn. Don't mow in the heat of the day. We come back, we're going to talk about prayer and how powerful prayer can be connecting us. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Destroying everyone and everything he finds. He's the hungry giant.
Wow, look at that hail!
Wow, look at my neighbor's car.
Wow, look at your roof!
Uh-oh. It's time to call John.
John? Who is John? The apostle?
No, silly. He's our brother in the Lord. John from the Blessed Roofing Company.
You know the name of your roofer?
Not just his name, but his number, too.
What?
469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED, because the answer to my roofing problems is in their number and in the company name. The Blessed Roofing Company. Get it?
All right, let me get this straight. You know the name of your roofer, his phone number, and his company name off the top of your head?
And his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. A roof over my head needs to be blessed, and his name and number and website are blessed too. In most cases, you can get a new roof with zero money out of pocket.
Well, now I know where I'm going for all my roofing needs. Whether it's a new roof, roof repairs, or free inspections, I'll call John at 469-BLESSED or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com.
With the Blessed Roofing Company, you've got it covered, because reliability starts at the top.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Hey! Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, sometimes we open up the show, we have a little bit of fun, relax. The thing is, if you are just tuning in to listen to nothing but straight teaching, there's tons of it on this station, and some of the finest teachers that I've heard of and that I've heard. Just absolutely great. And if you're looking for political material, it's here. I mean, it's all over this station. But every once in a while, I need a break. Sometimes I need some just practical teaching. Sometimes I need just to recognize the ridiculous. Sometimes I need to know that somebody else feels the way I do and just thinks, ay, 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 ay. Right? I mean, in a sense, you're all kind of Jewish, or at least Yiddish to some degree, when you're like going, oy vey, that's enough. All right, let's do this. I have a trivia question, but I forgot to tell Wonder Julie. Is that terrible? I forgot to tell you. I did not tell her. She's not going to know this because I wouldn't know this had I not looked it up. Okay? So let's not try and be overly smart. We did last Friday, and we only have a small amount of time to do this. So if you have the answer, call and give the answer. If you don't, can't do anything about it. We're not giving away anything today. We'll start that tomorrow. Last Friday, we talked about the names, the most popular names in the Bible regarding, besides Jesus, which it turned out to be David and then Moses. Here's one for you. Female names, what's the most popular female name? There, I would take either one or two as a correct answer. There are two specifics that are higher up than the rest. If you think you know, you are welcome to call 972-445-0770. You cannot go to Google and look it up. That's cheating. Okay? That's like doing trivia at some kind of restaurant and you have your phone. See, what is that? My phone's faster, so I win. We don't do stuff like that. Facebook, go to David Spoon Media. YouTube, go to David Spoon Media. I did give an Easter message. I hope that you had a chance to hear it. So now we want to get into the teaching portion. You're welcome to call in on that, and I will break in for that. That's 972. What did I say? Our name was 445-0770. I had to remember the number. Okie dokie, artichokey. Here we go. So I was woke up this morning. Had a pretty good day, pretty good weekend over the weekend. It was Easter, so that was good. And then as I was in process this morning, I found myself in spiritual warfare. Now, what that means, I really like to define that because I think what some people have, you know, this notion that, you know, 100 demons came into the room, and other people have this notion that there are no demons and that it was just, you know, crummy morning and so on and so forth because it's Monday morning and it's not always the best. Well, that's, in fact, not how the spiritual warfare goes for most people. For most people, spiritual warfare goes along the lines of what you are trying to do is, in any kind of spiritual realm, is opposed. There is an opposition to it. And that's what I want to talk about, and I'll tell you what happened in that moment. I'll tell you what happened in that moment. So we do have somebody who's answering. Plus, we have another caller. So there's two callers. So how do I do? What do I do? Hit number one?
Yes, hit number one.
Okie dokie artichokey. All right, I hit number one. Now what? Do I pull a lever?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, how you doing? Okay, do you think you know the name for the person, female, who are most often referred to in the Bible?
Okay, I was asking her, was it the most blessed? But I think the one most often in the Bible is Mary.
That is close, but that is incorrect. That is close, but incorrect. That's a good one. Remember, we're using the whole Bible. Okay, good try, though. Very good guess. Thank you for doing so. Appreciate it. All right, you take care.
God bless.
You too, brother. Okay, so that one was incorrect. That was good. Now we have number two. Hold on. I'm going to learn these buttons yet. I'm going to become a master button pusher. Okay. All right, caller, what do we think we do? We think we know which name? Oh, you got
to
echo there.
Hello, brother.
Okay, turn your radio down.
The name is Rachel.
Rachel is an excellent guess. That's number two. So you are correct. You are correct. Ding, 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 ding. But Rachel is number two. I'm gonna leave it right there. And if anybody thinks they know number one, great statement, though. Rachel, number two, there's at least 47 references to Rachel. So we're going to give somebody a chance to see if they can reach out to us for the number one answer. Now, let me go back to what I was saying. See, that's kind of fun, right? Now, when you call, folks, if you have your radio up, it'll echo. That's how, what happens. So if you call, you'll hear. You might not hear it, but we'll hear it. It goes, and it's like Godzilla or something. It's like, you just turn your radio down. Okay, that's all you got to do. All right, so Rachel, number two. We got one more to go for number one. 972-445-0770. Okay, so going back to warfare, the idea behind warfare, spiritual warfare, is there's an opposition to what you're trying to do. So let's say you're trying to pray, or let's say you're trying to read your Bible, or let's say you're trying to do anything functional in the kingdom of God whatsoever. I'm not talking about eating a banana, putting peanut butter on it, having the peanut butter fall on the floor. That's really not spiritual warfare. That's called missing. Okay, so but anytime you're trying to accomplish something, it's either excessive distractions, right? Have you ever tried to go to read your Bible and then 10 things come up? That's part of it. Not just regular distractions, almost abnormal amount. Well, I was going through that type of thing in show prep. And I was like, wow, this is just going crazy. It's going crazy. And I thought, man, I gotta pray. What I need to do is just kind of break the atmosphere that's going on. I don't care how I gotta do it. I just gotta get through this little mudslinging moment, and you know, it's kind of weird, kind of sludging through like thick water. You can't even move. It's like that kind of thing. And right about that time, just when I committed that to the Lord, I'm telling you something, and I'm going to say it real carefully because I don't want to over-charismata this, but it was as though somebody was praying for me, because there was an immediate ceasing. An immediate ceasing. Now, I want to talk about that because Scripture has a very interesting reference point to this in Romans 15:30. It says this, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me." So you'll hear people say, "Hey, we've got a great cause. Give to our cause." And then some of us will say, "Gosh, I have no money." I'll pray for you. You know, if you actually really do pray for the person, you're joining that struggle. Paul in Romans 15:30 said, "Join me in my struggle by praying to God for me." So if you ever are in that financial position, somebody's asking and you can't do anything, but you really want to help, you can join that struggle through prayer. But it was as though somebody was praying for me. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, if you were in the room, I would almost think you'd be. It was like everything just bing. And instead of everything becoming super difficult or sledging through, it all became easy. And I was like, I think somebody's praying for me. I think somebody's joining me joining my struggle in a sense of just lifting me up in prayer. Now, I know thousands and thousands of people could have been anywhere, but I'll take it. I'll take it. And if you think about somebody and they come into your mind, you should pray for them. You might be helping them in a moment they don't even know about. You know what? You don't need to know about it. You don't need to get rewarded. You don't need to get a badge for it. If you're walking along and somebody is on your heart all of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody maybe the Holy Spirit introduces, or maybe you just think about somebody and you think, I should really pray for that person. Do it. It only takes 30 seconds. I mean, Paul said, I thank God I mention you in prayer. Mention doesn't take long. You never know what they're going through, right? I encourage you to respond to that. I think somebody was praying for me. I'm telling you, it made a huge diff. That's short for difference. Okay, so now I'm pushing button three. Here we go. Ready? Do-do-do-do-do. Button three has been pushed.
Button one.
Button one. Button one for a third call. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. Does it look like I know what I'm doing? I can't even wear a suit and tie.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
I don't know. Okay, caller, what do we think we have for the answer regarding the female name that is used the most in the Bible?
It's Eve.
Oh, that's close, but that is not correct. Oh, you are so close. That is not correct, my brother. That is not correct, but thank you. And that's a good one. That's three. Thank you, brother. Okay, that's three callers that we've had on that one question. That's a good one. That's a good one. But there's one. And I can't give you a hint because if I do, that kind of ruins it. So we only have 2 minutes. So anyway, I want to go back to this. I think I'm going to have to give the answer because we have that other person coming. So the bottom line, though, in that prayer and that spiritual verse is, listen, I want you to go look at Romans 15:30. I want you to look at Romans 15:30. And then I want you to think about the different things that you've come across that you've wanted to do something for, but you couldn't. You couldn't because you didn't have the financial wherewithal or anything else. And recognize that by praying for somebody, you join them. That's a powerful truth. When you're praying for your church, you're joining your church in its struggle or any other ministry. By the way, that is a call that all of us have to pray for one another and to be joining one another and helping one another. The answer, by the way, is ding, 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 ding to the trivia question, Sarah. Abraham and Sarah is used 59 times in the Bible. Wow. 59. That we know of could be 61. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break. Hopefully all goes well. We'll be right back.
So I punish myself. I go down to the jail of my soul.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. But it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What can you do? Well, you recognize as your brother that just hearing you say that I hoodwinked you is, of course, satisfaction for me alone. So it's not like I need something beyond that. I think that works for me. And it's on the air and it's recorded. Back to the dust with thee.
The David Spoon Experience.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Do want to let you know if you want to reach the show, David Spoon Media on Facebook. Also YouTube, David Spoon Media, because... There we go. We have with us as a guest... joining us for the first time, and actually this is the first time I've ever interviewed him, so I've never had a chance to talk to him before. We have Spencer Brown. We're going to talk to Spencer. If I say anything wrong, Spencer, after I'm done, you just kind of cut in there and say, hey, Dave, it's this and this. I'm sure it won't be too far off, but he's representing the Young American Foundation, talking about the insanity. Now, we talk about insanity with Spoonanity, but now we're talking about the insanity on college campuses. Now, earlier in the show, we talked about dogs being called white supremacists. And then also Netflix has a new thing where you can't say chick flick. It's like the world's gone mad. And right on the college campus is the place it's happening the most. Spencer, are you there with us?
Hit number one.
Hit number one. Okay. You know, I got to remember to hit these buttons. That's the whole thing. Are you there with us, Spencer?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Doing very well.
Okay, talk to me about what is going on. You had a really interesting article on Town Hall. I happen to know a bunch of people in the Town Hall realm. Four things that'll get you banned from – four truths that will probably get you banned from a college campus, which all four are exceedingly true in the sense that all four of those will get you banned. Talk to me just real briefly, Spencer, about what is at the core of the problem on college campuses where you can't talk anymore.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, that's the whole problem is just the idea that somehow – speech that the left disagree with can constitute violence against people is ridiculous. But that's exactly what we see. And so right now, you know, the left basically reacts as if they're allergic to these basic facts that aren't even really necessarily conservative versus liberal. You know, these are just basic facts, you know, backed up by biology or hundreds of years of general practice. And so what we see is that the left has taken basically any tactic they can in order to shut down conservative speakers, their ideas, and the students who are there to advance them.
Let me ask you, it's because back in the day, and this is might be before your time, so if it is, please forgive me. But back in the day, there was a march that was supposed to take place in Stokey, Illinois. And the group that was supposed to march is the Ku Klux Klan. And the ACLU defended their right to march, and it was a huge story, and the whole country was like, blah, blah, blah. Now, from that point, you know, 40 years ago to now, it doesn't seem like the ACLU would defend anybody but a plant saying that we're being wounded because somebody's using a mower on us. I mean, what? Well, is this all from college campus training from these professors?
Well, I think that's definitely a big part of it. You know, if you look at in the time since then, what you just referenced, you know, there have been generations of students who have gone through these leftist-dominated universities and colleges where they only hear one side, and that's obviously the left side. And if you look at the way the left acts, it's basically free speech for me, but not for thee, where they, you know, they want freedom and they want free everything. You know, they want free college, free this, free that. But if a conservative dares to insist that they also have the right to free expression or free assembly on their campus, everything just goes into meltdown. And, you know, we've seen it where some schools will cancel conservative speakers, other schools will disband with conservative groups on campus. And, you know, I work with students every day at Young Americans Foundation. And we have, you know, basically every day while school is in session, students at least one a day calling us saying, you know, my school is trying to shut me down. What can we do about it? So we jump into action and help, you know, expose those situations in the press or sometimes pursue legal action if necessary. And it's absurd that that sort of action is necessary for conservatives just to have the right to speak anymore.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And I want to give you a chance to prop that up and get some support from the audience. But first, I want to ask you this. Is there a possibility that some students get involved in this and then respond this way, not simply because they are lacking in critical analysis and critical thought, but also they want a good grade? And because they want a good grade, they'll do whatever it is that the teacher says in order to get as high a GPA, because secretly, no matter what they say, they're capitalists and they want to get a better job.
Well, I think that definitely happens. You know, we do hear from students a lot at our student conferences, especially where we bring, you know, hundreds of students who are conservative from around the country together, and they have the opportunity to be sort of in an area where they know they're with fellow conservatives. A lot of times they'll ask our speakers that question. They'll say, you know, is it better for me to argue what I believe and what I know to be true, or is it better for me to argue what the professor wants me to say in order to get a good grade to get through college? And we think, you know, obviously it's up to each student based on what they want to do. But what we've seen is that students who stand up and, you know, say enough is enough, I'm not going to go along with what you say, that's not real education. We do see that oftentimes they're able to change sort of the tone on their campus and stand up and be a voice for other students who might not be willing to do that.
Right. Yeah, what's difficult is not just the peer pressure, but I think other external pressures kind of simultaneously. And people really stood up and gave their opinion, but thought that they could get away with giving their opinion. It probably wouldn't be as much groupthink. So how can people, we're going to get into those four areas, and I'll get into that in a second, but I'm trying to give you a little bit of extra time. How can people support you and your group in the sense of, you know, the Young America Foundations is trying to say, hey, we have a right to speak without having some type of repercussion. Is there anything that anybody can do who's not in the student realm?
Well, you know, we do. We're always looking for new students to join our ranks or conservative students who might not already be a part of what we're doing on campuses. So, you know, if you have a young person in your life, whether that's a child or a grandchild or a niece or a nephew, you can always refer them to attend one of our programs. You know, we're happy to bring students out to President Reagan's Ranch that we own out in California or to one of our student conferences here in D.C., and that's a really great way to get plugged into what we're doing and sort of learn how to be a bold advocate for freedom. But then, you know, beyond that, I think just, you know, helping us raise the alarm about what's going on college campuses. I think for a long time the left has gotten away with this kind of thing just because people weren't, you know, sharing these stories and telling sort of the truth about what's going on in these bubbles.
Yeah, that's a great point. I want to deal with these four arenas because I just don't want you to lose that opportunity. The first one, pretending that a man is a woman if he believes he is a woman. So I've decided I'm Howard Stern and I want his paycheck. So is that okay?
Well, what we see with the left, you know, is the idea of each person having their individual truth or my truth has totally trumped the idea of any objective truth that exists. And if you dare, you know, point out that there is objective truth about certain things, you know, then you're a bigot or a racist or whatever it may be. And so these are the kind of things that, as the article, you know, says, are the kind of things that get you kicked off or banned from campuses. And we actually just saw about a week and a half ago, Michael Knowles was speaking for YAF at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and he was giving a speech titled Men Are Not Women. And this crazy leftist came through the door with a super soaker filled with household cleaners and glitter and shot it at him and was thankfully tackled by a security officer and arrested and is now being charged with assault. But that's the reaction that you get now on campuses when you say men are not women.
What's weird about that is that if that was a conservative group and they did that to a liberal speaker, it would be a hate crime. But it doesn't go the other way, which just tells you, I mean, the idea that anybody does any of this without some sense of bias is just, it's the absurdity is beyond comprehension. And I do want people to know that you can go to townhall.com and that Spencer has his article under there. He's a columnist, and it's four truths that will probably get you banned from a college campus in 2019. And the reason I want want you to read is because at least you should know what's going on. Whether you agree with every single thing that everybody says or not is its own little world because you don't agree with yourself 10 years ago. But in these types of things, people should have the opportunity, especially in college, to express themselves and have an exchange of ideas and discussion. They've even forgot the basic principles of debate. Long ago, debate was completely different. Now they're all structured and just for TV and stuff like that. Talk to me about the feminism. So feminism has sucked all the joy out of femininity. So that's great lines. This is like, what are we trying to say? That a lot of feminists are miserable?
Well, I mean, if you look at the message of the left on that, it's that you're a victim, you'll never get ahead, you have no personal responsibility, you're always going to have somebody, you know, trying to oppress you. And I think, you know, Andrew Klavan is great on that topic, but another one of the YAF speakers who's really great is Christina Hoff Sommers, the factual feminist. And she talks about how the left has basically hijacked this movement for the equality of opportunity and turned it into just basically an excuse to bash men for anything and everything you want to. And that, again, is one of those things that will get you protest. You know, people call our female speakers on campuses, they call them misogynists now. So it just shows how far departed from reality they are at this point on the left.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. If you really want to understand a woman bashing a man, you should have a mother-in-law if you're not doing really well. I'm just saying, these people know nothing. It's amazing. All right, let's go into that life as a fundamental right. I loved Reagan's position. Nobody was really able to argue. Nobody has really yet successfully unargued his position. That's a child, and that child has constitutional rights. That was one of the best lines ever. That's another fundamental issue that life is a right and that there's nobody standing in the right place for that on the left side.
Well, yeah, and if you look at not just on college campuses, but just nationwide recently, you know, the left is basically pushing for legislation that legalizes infanticide, you know, where you can do an abortion up to and even sometimes at the point of birth. And it's just absurd when you consider that, you know, a country that was founded on the idea that every person is created in God's image, that we've come to the point where just, you know, because an individual isn't wanted, that they can be basically just put to death for that with no sort of, you know, trial or any, you know, due process for that child. And so if you look at college campuses, you know, anytime a pro-life speaker appears, they're obviously called misogynist or bigoted and usually, you know, protested or even in some cases banned.
Yeah. The insanity of it is incredible. I mean, if you just were able to get rid of people you didn't like, all of Boston would get rid of all of New York. But that's besides the point. So last thing, the free market fundamentally runs on service, not making everybody equal. The idea that everybody is equal really falls outside of Jesus's parameter, since he said they will call you greatest in the kingdom of heaven or they will call you least in the kingdom of heaven. Right there, that tells you not everybody's on the same playing field.
Well, exactly. And I think sort of that quote has sort of two key points in it. And the one is that the free market succeeds because it's based on service. You know, everybody on the left on college campuses and economics departments and et cetera will tell you that, you know, the free market, that capitalism is an oppressive system and it's designed to keep people down. But really, we've seen, you know, throughout history, it's the most successful means of pulling people out of poverty and ensuring that humans have a chance to flourish during whatever they want to do. If you look at, you know, the modern economy today, college students rely on the free market in so many ways without even realizing it, from Amazon Prime and Uber Eats to Lyft and everything else that they do, just for a push of a button on their phone. It's all there because the free market allowed, you know, this marketplace of ideas and services to flourish. And then, you know, the idea that equality of outcome is somehow guaranteed in the United States is just ridiculous. Instead, the free market and freedom in the United States obviously guarantees the freedom of opportunity. And what you do with that opportunity is obviously up to you. And if you mess it up, you know, there's a chance at redemption, but it's not up to the government to try to coddle you or keep you from doing that.
That's exactly right. It's the pursuit of happiness, not the provision of happiness. That'd be
exactly.
Good for people to know. Excellent job on your radio interview. I'm going to get a copy of this and have that sent over to Renery, have them kind of connect it to you and get it to you. But an excellent job, Spencer. And I encourage
excellent.
People.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. People, go to Town Hall. Check it out from Spencer Brown. 4 truths that will probably get you banned from a college campus in 2019 so you can know what this war is at the college level. Thank you, sir. Have a fantastic week.
Have a great week.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Wow, what a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
we need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking. Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I still got to work on that thing. Texas. I'm still working it, folks. Somebody's going to have to help me out on that. Okay, nice job by Spencer, I thought. He did a good job. So if we might have a shorter segment this segment because, you know, that's one of the things. If you get into an interview, like we're going to have James Robeson on Wednesday, and if it gets longer, it gets longer, and if it gets shorter, it gets shorter. That's, you know, okay, fine. We're going to do our best. Our big thing is to make sure that we give plenty of time to our sponsors. Okay? Okay. And not everything always runs technically perfect. Or if it does for you, I want to be your friend. Because I've never seen that happen anywhere. I want to close out on that one prayer part I was talking about and then talk to you about something that is really important about choking. Don't ask me how we get there. First, I do want to remind you on that Romans 15:30 portion about that idea of joining one another in a struggle by praying for one another. So husbands and wives, this is really good for you. Boyfriends and girlfriends, this is really good for you. Fathers and mothers to children and children to fathers and mothers. And siblings and brothers and sisters in the Lord. When somebody tells you something's going on, you know, there's an awkward pause. And you're like, oh, that's a bummer. You don't know what to do or you don't know what to say. I don't know if that's ever happened to you or not, but I've had people tell me stuff and I'm like, and I don't know what to say. But now, and since the Lord really opened this scripture up to my mind, probably about 6 years ago or 7 years ago. When I say I'm going to pray for them, when I walk away from them, I immediately pray for them right then and there on the spot. One, so I don't forget. Because I'm the kind of guy that would go, I will absolutely pray for you. And then I get in my car and, and I forgot. And then two, it doesn't take a lot of effort to pray for one another. I know for some reason we think that if you're going to pray for one another, that there should be like some humming in the background. And then you should have like a blue or a burgundy velvet drapes, and that it should be dimly lit, and no thumping music, and all that stuff, and when you're done praying, there should be a little bit of a rainbow, and I have heard you, kind of thing. And that's not how it goes. Okay, I'm just telling you. When Paul says, I mention you in prayer, I'm just more than confident in that Greek word, mention. We're not talking more than 30 seconds. I mean, you think he's alone. Lord, don't forget those people. It's not like the Lord's going to forget them, but by being aware of them and bringing them to the Lord, you have the petition that's taking place, and it keeps them in mind, and you're praying that the Lord will work on their behalf. I think that we ought to tell people, hey, I'm going to pray for you. This is what's going on. I'm praying for you. I'm stepping up, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to walk away from your prayer or pray for them right then and there. I try and do one of those two, because if I distance it, I'll forget it, and I don't have to think of praying for people in this really long, drawn-out element. And by that, I mean, my brother and I, we were going to do a Christian comedy album. The first skit on the Christian comedy album was the guy who prays over the food, okay? And it's a Christian comedy album. Remember Isaac Airfreight? I mean, Jerusalem Dragnet, that whole thing. Funny stuff, right? So we had this guy, and he was praying, Lord, thank you for the food, right? And then everybody's really hungry. And bless this food to our body. And we want to thank you, for the supermarket that had the food. We want to thank you for the workers at the supermarket who got together and got up early in the morning. We want to thank you for the people that put together the idea of the supermarket. Then they got together and decided to have other supermarkets, then have other people hire them. And then those people got together, and then they had insurance for those people so that they could work there. Lord, we want to thank you for the farmers who thought about putting the food in the ground. Once they put the food in the ground, the guy who built the truck to get that out, plus the tractor builders, plus the people that do the parts for the tractors. So we did this for 10 minutes. See, the idea of that for you to laugh is to understand, that's not really what the Lord's looking for. I'll give you the blessing that takes place in Hebrew. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haoretz, and Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Eat. And oh, for those that don't know, in Jewish tradition, you would thank God for food, but you would really thank him after the meal. Why? Because if it's a lousy meal, who are you thanking? I mean, nobody's that daft. The duck soup was really bad. It didn't have any quackers. It's like a common sense element. Sometimes the faith gets a little fake holy, okay? So watch that. Just pray for one another. That's really what you want, is you want to pray. In fact, I'm not gonna do the thing on the choking thing. I'll do that tomorrow. We got time for tomorrow. We'll talk about that. But I want to talk about that because for some reason we have made praying for one another like this. It's like an overly religious exercise. I'm a devotional guy. I pray every day. Of course, every day I'm praying for my most immediate family, and then I try to be sensitive in case anybody else has been on my mind or anything along those lines. But I don't sit there when I pray for my wife and spend 30 minutes covering every aspect of my wife. Okay? First of all, that's not necessary because I'm not informing God of anything. I'm bringing that petition to God and asking on her behalf, but I'm not filling him in. I don't think God knows all of the circumstance because, when she was at work, this person came up and was super rude to her and to the person she works with and to the other person, and they were all rude. Lord, this is just all these people. It's not like God was like going,
They were rude to her? Really? There's a problem when we think that we have to fill God in. There's not a problem when you petition on somebody's behalf and say, that's your daughter, you love her, and we just pray that you give her strength. And Lord, I'm asking you to lift her up and to bless her work of her hands, give her the energy to sustain. I'm praying on her behalf. I'm petitioning you so that she'll do well, and thank you for her. Well, that took 10 seconds. And that's what it takes to fulfill those commitments. What I'm trying to say is, taking on a burden like that is not the burden that it seems to be. Now, if you make a decision to pray for somebody every day for a year, that's a decision or a commitment you make. Then do it. But I don't think you're supposed to pray 65 minutes for them every single day. Now, I happen to have a lot of people in my life, so it takes me a long time to do my devotions because I have made some of those commitments. But you know what? It's a pleasure, not a burden. Although sometimes when I'm really going long, I'll just be honest with you, I do the, and Lord, all those people over there do. Come on. Who doesn't do that? But you know what the Lord loves about that? Me spending time with him. This isn't about you doing a perfect religious-y thing. This is about you hanging out with the Lord. And sometimes you just got to, you know, lift people up and be conscious of them. I'll tell you one thing that somebody told me. I'm so mad that this person told me this. He said, you want to really stop being mad at that person? And like a part of me is like, no. But it's like, yes. Then pray for them that the Lord will help them. No! Because then you're praying for their benefit and their wellness. But that's the right Christ-like attitude. Oh, okay. I guess I should do that. It's like, and then when they start doing well, you can't complain because you're the one who's praying for them to do well. And you can't sit there and go, wait, this is miserable. You're not allowed to do that. You see where I'm going with that? So to some degree, use that prayer time when people come into your mind. Maybe you've got somebody that you've been thinking about. Maybe come across something. Pray. You don't have to spend forever, but pray for them. Join them in that struggle. Join other people, because I'll tell you one thing. He that encourages others will himself also be encouraged. Get it? Got it? Keep it and hold on to it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're going to take a 23-hour break and come back for more. See you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.